Well, good morning once again. Got a question to get us going today for this time. And the question is this: have you ever had someone over-answer a question? You ever had that happen? Happened to me recently. I went to get my car washed over at the Mr. Clean on Shalaford, and I pull up to the entrance to the car wash thing, and there's this young dude standing at the entrance just chilling, and my window was down, so I just looked at him, and I was like, how you doing? That's all I said. And everyone knows what's supposed to happen in that moment. Every single person in this room, you know what was supposed to go down. Because the question, how you doing, it wasn't really a question, right? It's just, I was just saying it, you know? Like, this is especially true among guys. Like, I can't speak for everybody, but I know in guys, we have scripts that we all know the lines to. Let me just prove it to you. Men in the room, what are you supposed to say when someone says, for example, what's up? Yeah, what's up or nothing. Yeah, that's it. We all know. What are you supposed to say when someone says, hey, how you doing? Yeah, good. That's it. Everybody knows the lines. Well, this bro is like, bruh, called me bruh, he's young. You know, he's like, bruh, it's been a crazy day. We had a cop car come in and he wanted it detailed. And you know, you're not like supposed to detail a cop car, at least I don't think you are, because I got in trouble with it in my last place that I was at, because you know, there might be like evidence in there. But we detailed the cop car and there was like, it was really cool. There was like the shotgun in there, like the pump shotgun. And I was like, whoa, that's cool. So we did that. And then the washing machine, the whole thing, one of the brushes broke and we had to close down the washing machine. I called my manager. I'm like, I don't know how to fix it. You got to come in and figure it. And then you didn't have a part. We had to order to get in there. There's a whole line to the street. And man, it's been crazy. And here you are. It's like, yeah, wow, yeah, wow. And you know, but it was a great opportunity. And as a pastor, I just was like, hey, well, can I pray for you? And we prayed, and he prayed to put his faith in Jesus right there. And he's sitting with me in church today. I'm just kidding. No, he's not. I knew I'd get some of you on that. It's like, here comes a preacher story, you know? But that's a lot of us. It's not just this young man. He was a cool guy. We did talk for a second. And then I washed my car. But we've all got prefabricated questions. We've got like these phrases that we say in our lives that they're not only a prefabricated question, but they kind of got a prefabbed answer, you know? Like, how you doing? How's your day? What's up? And the worst is, has this ever happened to you where you get a prefabricated prompt, but you give the wrong prefabricated answer, you know? Like you're in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A and the guy's like, what's up? And you're like, great. No, wait, not that, you know? That didn't sound right. Your friend's like, how you doing? You're like, nothing. I mean, wait a minute, you're at lunch, the waiter says, enjoy your meal, and you say, you too. I mean, like, when you get off, if you happen to eat whatever your next meal is, I hope it's great. You know, like, dang it, I messed up, so embarrassing. Well, we are finishing today a series about prayer, and it's called Prayers That Work, and that's the simple question that we just started the whole thing with. Do your prayers work? Do your prayers work? Do they bring you closer to God? Do they make any difference in your life? Do they move anything in and around you in the world? Or do they sometimes, do they oftentimes, do they all the time kind of feel like words just bouncing off the sky? Do your prayers work? Most of us pray. I mean, surveys say most people pray, but few of us feel confident that our prayers are working. So the question is, what are we missing? Are we doing something wrong? And is there a way to pray that works? Is there a way to pray that works? Well, week one, we discovered that Jesus' answer to that question is yes. There is a way to pray that works. And we have been spending this series learning from him how to do it. And I wanted to start our time together with that question about our prefabbed phrases, because I'm worried that there's one particular phrase that has, in one way or another, fallen into that category, come to be in that category. And it's this phrase right here, or phrases like it, thoughts and prayers. Anybody ever said or seen thoughts and prayers out there? So where this comes from, if you're like not a Christian, you're like, what? Well, here's what happens. Like, so when somebody says or tells you about something that's not going well or something that they really do hope goes well, at least in Christian circles, we instinctively respond with thoughts and prayers. Or as I like to call it, T's and P's. How often I hear it. In fact, somebody said that to me one time, T's and P's. And I was like, I'm sorry? And I'm like, I will remember that. T's and P's. You say some version of like, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. We'll be praying for y'all. And listen, I know that a lot of people really mean it when they say it. I know, I'm not saying you don't, but come on, let's be honest. That ain't all of us all the time, right? Sometimes, if you were being just brutally honest, if you were to actually say what was reality, you wouldn't just say, oh, pray for you, oh, thoughts and prayers. No, what you'd really say is something like, hey, there's about a 5% chance I remember to pray for you, but and if I do, I have no idea what I'm gonna say or if anything's even gonna happen, but you know, thoughts and prayers. T's and P's, bro, you know? And that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that this phrase, or whatever form of it you say, has fallen into this category and become the Christian version of, oh man, that's tough. Oh man, that's hard. I hate that happened. Oh, I hope it works out. I hope it gets better. Thoughts and prayers. And for sure, that is a nice thing to say. It's a nice thing to say. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But what if it could be more than just a platitude? What if it could be more than just a prefabricated response? What if it could be more than just a nice gesture? Jesus says that it can be. What if there's a way to pray for people that works, that actually moves things, that you can actually feel confident, not only about what you're gonna say when you pray, but what impact it's gonna have on the situation or the relationship with the person that you are praying about? Jesus says, there is. There is a way to pray that works, to pray for people that works. And that's what we're gonna talk about today. Week one, we talked about talking prayer, just how you pray to God in your daily life or whenever you pray. Then we talked about listening prayer. And today we're gonna end by talking about, or diving into, exploring a little bit, intercessory prayer. Let's all say that together, this big church word, intercessory prayer, which is just a fancy way of saying praying for somebody. We're gonna talk about praying for somebody. Praying for somebody in hopes that it makes a difference. That's what intercessory prayer is. And if you're a Christian, or even if you're of another faith, or even if you're just spiritual, chances are you've done this. You probably do it frequently. And you want it to work. That's why you do it. Even if you're not religious, I'm sure you share the same sentiment, like the heart behind it. You're like, yeah, I mean, I feel that for people. Of course I do. Maybe you've even tried it to see if it works. And I hope that something you learned today or hear today inspires you to maybe try it again one more time. But that's what we're talking about. We're gonna talk about praying for someone, how to pray for someone. And as Christians, the reason that we know about this kind of prayer is because this is the kind of prayer that Jesus is doing right now. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus isn't just someone who taught about prayer? He is someone who is praying right now. The Apostle Paul says it this way. He's talking about something else, about the grace of God. He says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, and here it is at the right hand of God the Father, and he is also, here it is, he's interceding for us. Jesus, according to the scriptures, right now is with God the Father, interceding. One of the things he's doing is interceding. He's praying for us. Every single day of your life, you can be confident that Jesus has prayed for you. Isn't that cool? You wanna know what's even cooler though? He's inviting you to join him. You and I have been invited by Jesus to join him, in praying for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, and our community in the same way and with the similar effect that he prays for us. Jesus is inviting you to pray like he does. And I know your initial response to that probably is something like mine, like, are you kidding? I mean, dude, there's a huge difference between Jesus praying and me praying for something. Way difference. How in the world could I ever pray anywhere near the same effect as Jesus prays? It's wild. And yeah, it is. But you can. You can. And here's how. You can if you are in Christ. You can if you are in Christ. Yes, anyone can pray. Yes, anyone can pray anytime, however they want. And I believe that God listens because he loves you. Yes, anyone can pray. But you have been invited to upgrade your prayers in Christ. Let me explain what I mean. When you put your faith in Jesus, when somebody puts their faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the scripture tells us that from that point forward, you are this phrase, you are in Christ. You're like with Christ. You're like, you know, one with Christ, meaning that whatever he has, you now share in. Here's what I mean. You share in his life as his perfect record is credited to you. You share in his death, which counts as payment for your sins. You share in his resurrection, whereby you are born again unto everlasting life. But the one that a lot of us don't know about, or if you're a Christian a long time, one that we forget about a lot, is that you also share in his ascension. Because Jesus is no longer here. At the end of his life, he ascended, like that verse says, to the right hand of God the Father. And that's where he is right now. And what he has there, we can share in. What he has there, we get to take advantage of. Number one, we share in his access. We share in his access. Jesus right now is in perfect relationship with God the Father. And through him, we too have been brought into relationship with our Heavenly Father, not as an acquaintance, but as a son or a daughter of God. We share in Jesus' intimacy and his access. The scriptures are full of this. Here's one of them. The Apostle Paul says this about Jesus: in him and through faith in him, we may approach God. And we may approach God how? With complete freedom and complete confidence. That's access. It's like my kids coming into the master bedroom. You know, not anybody can just walk into our master bedroom. That's kind of weird. But my kids can, dude. They don't even knock. They just, boom, kick the door down and they're like, hey, here's what I need, you know, waking us up at 3 a.m, whatever. They just come in whenever they want. Why? Well, because of who they are and because of whose they are. They're mine. And the same is true of you. In Christ, you are a son and daughter of God. And that means something, because not just anyone can walk into the throne room of a king. No way, and especially the King of Kings. Not anyone can just go in, but you in Christ can, because you are a son and daughter of God, which means you don't have to knock. You can ask the creator of the universe for anything, anytime, and he will listen to you. We share in Jesus' access to God our Father when we are in Christ. Second thing, though, we also share in his authority. In his authority, at the end of Jesus' life, Jesus himself said this. He said, all authority. How much? All of it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given by God the Father to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given from God the Father. He's given it to me. All authority Jesus has. And he has shared his authority with us. He has shared his authority with us. The next phrase here, it says, so now go. We are commanded to go. In his authority, we're commanded to make disciples and pray, and baptize and teach in his authority. And one of the things we're also invited to do is to pray to God in the authority of Jesus. And this is what makes all the difference in our prayers. It's like the difference between the phrase, hey, Dan is driving closely behind me, and Officer Dan is driving closely behind me, right? Two very different phrases. One makes me anxious. Why? Because one of those people has been given authority from the county that makes all the difference in the world. And this, by the way, is why we pray in Jesus' name. When we say, in Jesus' name, amen, that isn't just a cute ending to a prayer. It's a claim for authority. It's a claim about authority. When we pray in Jesus' name, it means we're not just praying in the authority of a stranger to God or even a citizen of, you know, whatever, or a high-ranking official. No, we are claiming and leveraging the authority of the King himself. We share in Jesus' authority. So it's not crazy, actually. It's not crazy to say that Jesus is inviting us to intercede like he does. On our own, no shot. I don't know what to pray or even if my prayers are gonna make a difference, but with him, game on. Why? Because in Christ, we have access to an authority from the King. We have access to an authority from the King. This is the upgrade that Jesus is offering, your prayers. He's inviting you to upgrade your prayers to access an authority. And this next part is so important. Why does that matter? Why is it important that we have access to an authority from a king? Here's why. Because according to Jesus, everything and everyone ultimately falls into one of two kingdoms. everything. And these two kingdoms explain everything that's happened in all of human history. That's why it's relevant. Jesus says everything ultimately falls into one of two kingdoms. And the first of those kingdoms is the kingdom of heaven. This is God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And that's not just someplace like up in the clouds. I know like movies and pictures and stuff probably giving you that image. But no, the kingdom of heaven is really anywhere. It's anywhere where God's will is done and where everything is as he intends it to be. That's the kingdom of heaven. Anywhere where God's will is done is as he intended it to be. And the creation account in Genesis tells us that that's where we started. We started in the kingdom of heaven. It tells us that God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden under his reign, under his rule. And it was paradise. That's what Eden means, paradise. It was life to the fullest. It was life lived in perfect relationship with God and with others and with self. Which, by the way, that's heaven. If you ever wondered what is heaven, is it like harps and clouds? No, heaven is life lived with God in a world as he intended it to be. That's heaven. But into the story, you can go read it, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Into the story came a would-be usurper. Satan, a fallen angel who hates God. His name literally means adversary. Satan means adversary. And he comes to Adam and Eve and he says, hey, God's holding out on you, don't you know? I know you didn't know, you know he's holding out on you, right? You actually don't need him. You can rule your own life. You can replace him. And this was a lie they believed. Adam and Eve famously eat the forbidden fruit. You've heard this. They replace God. They rebel against God and they replace a God-ruled life with a self-ruled life. And that's when everything fell apart. That's when sin entered the human heart and therefore the world. Why? Because when you turn away from the source of all light, what is it that you're turning towards? Darkness, right? And everywhere that sin showed up, death and destruction followed. Why? Because when you turn away from the source of all life, what you're turning towards is death. And by the way, that's hell. If you ever wonder what hell is, it's some like fiery place with pitchforks. No, hell is life and the world without God, without his life and his light. And that's how we came to live in the world that we live in, one that we are painfully aware is not the way that it should be, not the way that it was meant to be. Why? Because it no longer reflects the kingdom of heaven. It no longer reflects the kingdom of heaven, but rather it's opposite. It reflects the values and the ways of the kingdom of the enemy, whose goal is to steal, kill, and destroy everything good and everything that God loves. And it's into this context that Jesus came. This is why Jesus came. God in the flesh, born on Christmas Day, not come primarily to be a teacher or a rabbi or a healer, not primarily to start a church or a movement or a small group. He came as a king to reestablish a kingdom. In fact, that is his name, after all. You know him as Jesus Christ. You know that's a title? We've talked about this. Jesus, should really say the Christ. This is a translation of the word Messiah, which means anointed one, king. He came as a king who is coming to rescue his people from the kingdom of their enemy and bring them back to the kingdom of heaven that they were created to live in. That's Jesus. Paul says this really well. He writes it really vividly. This is one of these verses I've memorized. I love it so much. He said, for he, Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion, that's a kingdom, darkness, and he has brought us, this is the good news of Christianity, he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. My friends, the Christmas story is not about a visit from God. It's about an invasion. And through his life, death, and resurrection, and ascension, Jesus has brought the kingdom of heaven to earth, and everyone is invited to participate. Everyone is offered and invited to be rescued from the dominion of darkness. And everyone is invited to come home to the kingdom of their heavenly Father. That's what Jesus started. That's what Jesus started. He established a beachhead, an outpost of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And one day, according to the scriptures, he's gonna return and finish the job. He's gonna fully and finally establish the kingdom of heaven. He's gonna remake the world the way that it was meant to be. And we are gonna live forever with him in paradise, just as he intended from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. That, by the way, is the story of the Bible in 5 minutes, however long that was. And that's where we are today, to put a bow on it. That's where we are today. We live as people and as the church, we live between two kingdoms in conflict. And here's the point. Ready? This is the whole point. That's intercessory prayer. That is intercessory prayer. Jesus says, I am giving you the access and authority to pray prayers that move kingdoms. I'm giving you the access and authority to pray prayers that advance the coming kingdom of heaven on earth, and prayers that push back on the reigning kingdom of Satan that seeks to stop it. That's intercessory prayer. It's not just T's and P's. It's a tool of great effect and a weapon of great power in the struggle between two kingdoms. That's what we're talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, I'm interceding for you and I want you to join me. I have an illustration I say a lot. You probably heard me say this before, but I use this a lot. It makes so much sense to me. It's like Wi-Fi in your house. You know, you got like the hub that's got the signal coming to it and it broadcasts it all. At least I hope you have Wi-Fi. If not, you should try it out. It's good. But it depends on how like wide your house is. The further you get away from the signal, the weaker it gets. And so one thing you can do is you can buy one of these. This is a Wi-Fi extender. And you just plug it in the room that doesn't get good Wi-Fi. And what it does is it takes the signal from the Wi-Fi, rebroadcasts it, and it just pushes it further into your house. It's a Wi-Fi extender. And this is a good picture of intercessory prayer. The kingdom of heaven is the signal. And when you and I pray, we have an opportunity to be one of these. We have an opportunity to be a Wi-Fi extender with the kingdom of heaven. I wrote it down this way in my notes, that we have an opportunity to broadcast the kingdom of heaven, should be holding it still, broadcast the kingdom of heaven where it is not yet fully experienced, and counter the kingdom of the enemy where it is not yet fully expelled. That's the opportunity we have to do with this kind of prayer. We have an opportunity to broadcast the kingdom of heaven where it's not yet fully experienced and counter the kingdom of the enemy where it is not yet fully expelled. It's intercessory prayer. And these are the kind of prayers that hopefully we're gonna leave here and start doing. Why? Because in Christ, our intercessory prayers carry the access and the authority of the King. Jesus is inviting us to go do this kind of prayer, to wield his access and authority on behalf of our friends and family and neighbors and coworkers in our community. He's inviting us to learn how to intercede. And these are the kind of prayers that I'm hoping we're gonna do this week. You can pray however you want to for people. Yes, you can pray however you want to for the people around you, but Jesus is inviting us to this. So, let's get practical with the few minutes that we've got left. I want to get practical and talk about how can we learn to intercede the way Jesus is teaching us to and inviting us to. How can we walk out of here and start praying these kinds of prayers? How do we walk out of here and start praying prayers that are for the kingdom of heaven to come on earth and against the kingdom of the enemy? And I want to start with the first. So this is going to become this, what we just talked about. Now that you understand the context of how Jesus, what Jesus means when he says you're invited to intercede. Now you understand that, and I didn't understand that for most of my life. How do you do it? Well, first off, this is how we are going to reframe praying for someone. We're gonna pray for God's kingdom to come, for God's kingdom to become a reality in their life, their family, and their endeavors. Remember the line from the Lord's Prayer, kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? That is, in fact, how you pray for people. That's how you do it. Those are prayers for people that work. Yes, you can pray however you want. God listens, he loves you. But those are prayers for people that work, not prayers for our kingdoms to come and our will to be done. No, God's. In other words, the influence of our intercessory prayers is limited to the boundaries of God's will. And that's not actually a limitation, and that's not a bad thing. It's actually a great thing, because God's will being done, it's the greatest thing that could possibly happen in any situation. Any relationship, any problem, anything you're praying about, God's will happening is the best thing that can happen for everyone involved every single time. That will always be true. So that means if we're gonna learn to effectively pray for people, we need to learn about God's will so we can pray for it. And I wanna help get you started. I wanna help get you started with some things that you can pray for that you can be confident are always God's will for somebody, and you can pray them with the access and authority that Jesus has shared with you. So I wanted to give you a quick list, and I put a verse with each one, so you don't have to take my word for it. You can go look it up. It's in the Bible. But for starters, number one, you can literally just pray for God's will. Like, you can literally just pray, God, I'm praying for this person. Will you, I pray your will be done and your kingdom would come in, like, that problem, in that tragedy, in that opportunity. That can always be your fallback. God, well, I pray your will would be done. That's a prayer that works. That's a prayer that has power. And you can always pray that. But of course, the more you know about God's will, the more specifically you can pray. Like, you can pray for someone to have more life, like the life and life to the fullest that John talks about in chapter 10. You can pray for someone to experience God's love, like how wide and long and high and deep is his awesome unconditional love for you, like it's described in Ephesians chapter 3. You can pray for someone to receive and discover direction in their life and like whatever decision they're trying to make, like that God would make the path straight, like he talks about in Proverbs. You can pray for freedom. God's will is for us to be free and alive, fully free, that man, whatever is weighing this person down, God, may they be free. Whatever's seeking to take them captive, may they have freedom from it. You can pray for someone's healing, like James, the brother of Jesus, talks about in his book in chapter 3. You can pray for fruitfulness, like being attached to a vine in John chapter 15, that in season and out of season, may they just bear fruit, God, and all that you've called them to. You can pray for excellence, like Paul talks about in Colossians, that whatever you do, you work at it with all of your heart. You'd show up as the best version of yourself. All my kids would show up at this test with the best version of themselves, God. Pray for their excellence. You can pray for love. You can pray for joy. You can pray for peace. You can pray for patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit described in Galatians 5, and that's just a start. That's a list just to get you started. If you want to know how to pray for the kingdom of heaven to come in someone's life, prayers that work, praying in the will of God for someone, you can start there. But of course, the invitation is to go find out more. Go read the Bible. Go get in a group. Go sit around a circle. Go arm yourself with more things to pray for the people that you love. Why? Because you have an opportunity to be one of these. You have an opportunity to be a Wi-Fi extender, to pray more of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, into the life of someone you care about. We have the access and authority to intercede like Jesus for others. And that's a start on how you can walk out of here and just start doing it. It's a lot simpler than we think. But there's another side to it, and that's this. The second kind of intercessory prayer, it's not just praying for the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, it's praying against the kingdom of the enemy. It's praying against the kingdom of the enemy. And of course, we take our stand against evil or the enemy or whatever word makes sense to you. You can use that, it's fine, I don't care. Of course, we take our stand through our right action, through our love of other people, willingness to sacrifice for them, through our faith in God. Yes to those, but we also do it through prayer. And I'm sure that you are probably like me, that when you hear like, let's pray against the enemy, that some of the pictures that come to mind are like exorcisms or like the movies, you know, something you've seen in the movies. Like, are we trying to be like K-pop demon hunters here? Like, what's going on? It's making me a little uncomfortable. I don't know. And that's normal if that's you. You're joined by a lot of people. But I want to say no. That's not it. We don't fight against the enemy with relics and rituals. You fight against the enemy with authority. That's how these prayers work. Because I don't have any authority over any spiritual enemy. But you know who does? Jesus. And I am in him. That's what the Apostle John was talking about when he said, hey, don't forget this. You're gonna need this truth. Greater is he, that's Jesus, who is in you, than he, that's the enemy, who is in the world. Jesus, who's in you, is greater than the enemy, who is in the world. That's why these prayers work, because we are standing in the authority and the power of a risen Savior. So how do you do this? How do you pray these kind of prayers, if it's not like the movies or that one church experience that you may have had or seen on TV or whatever, if it's not like any of that, how do you actually do it? And the good news is it's a lot more straightforward than maybe you think. How you pray against the enemy is you do this simply. You just pray against his lies. That's it. You pray against his lies. Jesus said this himself about Satan. He said he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is, here we go, no truth in him. When he lies, there's the word, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar. And he is, you've probably heard this title before, the father of lies. It's one of like Satan's other titles that we call him because Jesus said this. The primary tool of the enemy is lies. He lies. He lies. He lies like all the time. He lies about God. God's not real. God doesn't care about you. God's not trustworthy. You ever heard that? Thought that was your own conscience? He lies about us. You're worthless. You suck. You're a piece of crap. God's forgotten you. You're too broken for grace. You're too broken for God to do anything with you. You ever heard that? He lies about other people. She's better than you. She's so much better, more worthy than you. He's gonna betray you. You know it. He's gonna betray you. You know it. Don't trust him. Don't trust anyone. He's gonna betray you. Hey, you see those people over there? They're your enemy. You should hate them. You should hate them. Don't you? Doesn't it feel good? You should hate them. He lies. This is how he spreads his kingdom. I'm not making this up. You can literally just read about it in the scriptures. This is how he spreads his kingdom. Why? Well, because those lies don't just stay lies. Those lies turn into wounds, things that we carry around. They turn into shame or fear or insecurity or despair or anger or hatred. And those wounds, they set the table for, they create the context of, they lead to sinful actions, sinful ways of responding, coping, trying to make it feel better, trying to compensate. And every single sinful action comes prepackaged with consequences. They're just built right in. That's how Satan builds his kingdom. That's it. And Jesus says, what I want you to do, I want you to get in his way. More specifically, I want you to pray in his way. Yes, the enemy is a liar, but I have given you truth to overcome lies. I've given you grace to overcome guilt. I've given you love to overcome hate. I've given you freedom to overcome bondage. I've given you life that can overcome death. You have access and you have authority to be one of these in your family, in your house, in your friend group, and in our community. You have the access and authority to pray against the kingdom of the enemy. And so it's not actually weird. This is what I want to tell you. It's not actually weird. It's just prayer. That's it. It's just prayer. You just pray. You pray against what the enemy has done, like the lies he's already planted, the wounds he's already dealt. I wrote a list, some examples. You pray, God, I pray that my son would know the truth and stop believing the lie that he is worthless. Father, would you drive shame out of my friend's heart with your love and your grace? God, I pray against the confusion and fear that have settled over this situation. I just pray against it. Get it out of here. You pray against what he has done and you pray against what he may yet do, what he hopes to do. The lies he may yet tell, the wounds he may yet try to plant, the temptations he may yet offer, the plans he may be making against us, our loved ones, or any endeavor that God has called us to. Prayers like, God, I pray that you would frustrate every plan of the enemy concerning this situation. God, would you protect my spouse as she goes protect my spouse from discouragement as she goes into this big meeting today. God, protect my children from the temptations that'll come their way as they begin middle school, as they begin high school. Pray against what he hopes to do. It's just prayer. But listen, if that's too weird, that's okay. You don't have to start here. You can just do the four people part. I just want to start with praying to four people. I kind of like that kingdom of heaven thing. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for healing. Yeah, I love that. That's fine. But just remember, Jesus is not just inviting you to pray for something. He is also inviting you to pray against something, and you have the access and authority to do it. You have the access and authority to do it. So, that's how you pray for someone. That's it. That's prayer that works. That's prayer that works. Hey, T's and P's are great. And you can pray for anybody however you want. But Jesus is inviting you to upgrade your prayers. Jesus is inviting all of us to start praying, to try praying, or if you are, to keep praying in Christ, praying in Christ. So he's inviting you to start praying or try praying or keep praying in Christ. He's inviting you to stand in his access and authority and start praying, try praying, or keep praying prayers for and against. Not people, we're always for people, but kingdoms. He's inviting you to start praying prayers for the kingdom of heaven to come in the earth and against the kingdom of the enemy that it may retreat. Why? They work. Jesus says they work. Now there's no guarantee on timing. I wanna make sure you know that. Some prayers are answered in this life and some prayers are answered in the life to come. But they will all be answered. And in all things, God will always work for your good and for his glory. You can count on that. But you and I are being invited to upgrade our prayers. We're invited to upgrade from thoughts and prayers to access and authority. That's the invitation. You're being invited to upgrade from thoughts and prayers to access and authority that is yours in Christ. And I don't know about you, but those are the kind of prayers I want to pray. Those are the kind of prayers I want to pray for my family, for my friends, for my coworkers, my neighbors, our community. I want to pray prayers that work, and so do you. So let's do it. Why not try it? You don't have to necessarily understand or even believe all this to try it. You're invited. Why not try it? Why not try it? In fact, I wanted, as we've done in the series so far, so this won't be a big surprise, I hope, wanted to create an opportunity to do it right now. We're gonna intercede right now, if you want. Under your chair is a card with a pen. What I wanna invite you to do is take a moment and write a prayer of intercession for someone. Think about someone you care about, someone in your life, someone in our community. How beautiful if we all did this today. Let's just think of someone and let's intercede for them. And I wanna invite you to write a prayer of intercession. It could be a prayer for, like, God, I wanna pray for peace. It could be prayer against, God, I wanna pray against fear. You can put their name on the card if you want. You don't have to. You do whatever feels comfortable to you. But I wanna invite you to write a prayer of intercession based on the access and authority that is yours in Christ. I want you to write it down. And then when you're done, and we're all gonna do this, or everybody who wants to, so you won't be alone. I wanna invite you to go pin it up. We have stations around the room. And I want you to take your prayer of intercession and I want you to pin it up. One, for us to do this publicly together, like this is a church family event that we are praying for those we love and those we live around. But also because our prayer team and our staff are gonna take these and we're gonna keep praying for them. Like whatever you put on there, we're just gonna pray, God, whatever this is, we pray for peace for this person. We're gonna keep interceding for you and your loved ones. So I want to invite you to do that right now. And hey, if you're not a Christian and you're like, is this for me? Yeah, heck yeah, it's for you. Do it, please. You can do whatever version of this feels comfortable for you. What a beautiful gesture, even if you're not religious or even if you're not sure what you believe. What a beautiful gesture just to literally say, I was thinking about you today in church. Maybe you don't have to tell them, but whatever prayer means to you, do that for someone. Please join in. Please join in. So I invite all of us to do that right now. I'm going to give you a moment. Write a prayer of intercession. And then when you're ready, just get up and pin it around the room. So here we go. Let's intercede. I know some of you are still pinning, but as you do, I'm gonna close this in prayer. So if you wanna pause for a second, you can, or you can keep pinning, do not worry. But I just wanna end by interceding. So would you pray with me? Father, first I want to recognize that you know every single prayer that's been pinned up here. And you know every single one that hasn't been. So I don't need to remind you or inform you. And so what I do want to do, God, Father, I want to take every single one of them we take every single one of them and we present them to you. And we pray, not based on our position or our merit or anything that we can do, but based on the access and authority that we have in Christ, we pray, Father, your kingdom come and your will be done in each and every one of these prayer requests, in each and every one of these people's lives, in every one of these situations. May the kingdom of heaven come in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the access and authority that we have in you, we ask that your love would come in and invade. We pray for your healing to come in. We pray for your freedom. We pray for your direction. We pray for your grace. We pray for your strengthening. We pray for your setting free and breaking down chains and barriers. We pray for your deliverance, God. We pray for your will. We pray for your life and life to the fullest. Your kingdom come and your will be done in every one of these. And we pray that in the authority of Jesus. And simultaneously, we know against every one of these requests, whether it be a person or a situation or a problem or a need or an opportunity, we know that the enemy has plans against them. We remember that. You taught us that, Jesus. And so in your name, in Jesus, in the access and authority that we have in you, we pray against the plans of the enemy in these people's lives, in these situations, in these problems, in these needs, in these wants, in these hopes and desires. We know that he is a liar. And so in Jesus' name, we just speak against his lies. May the truth expose and eradicate his lies. May your healing and your love bring to the surface and heal fully and finally every wound that he has planted. And we pray in Jesus' name, based upon the authority and the access that we have in Jesus, we pray that you would frustrate every single plan and design of the enemy against us, our families, all of our endeavors, and all the things that you called us to, and every person that's represented on this board. In Jesus' name, we pray against the enemy's kingdom, that everything he has planned against us and against you will fail and come to nothing. So we pray for your kingdom to come and his to retreat. And we pray this once again, not based on us or anything that we've said perfectly or done perfectly, no, but we do so based on Jesus, because in him we have access and authority to the King. And it is in his matchless name that we pray. Everybody said, amen.